Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning to you. It's a Monday, but not just that. Beware, peeps. It is April Fool's Day, Monday, April 1st. We are under strict rules here at CBS Sports Radio to not play April Fool's jokes. Our previous boss either had been a victim of one or had one go horribly wrong with one of the hosts that in one of the shows that he had worked with in the past. So he always made it very clear that we were not to do April Fool's jokes. I'm not a big fan anyway, because I got burned by one so badly when I was in my 20s that I would never do it to anyone else. It was so awful. I've told the story on the air. Now is not the time. But it was so bad that it cured me of any desire to ever be part of April Fool's. But I will say, on this day, I generally don't believe anything that I hear or read, especially if it comes from social media, because there is a trap. It's a trap laid for you, so beware. This is your warning here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. But good morning. I hope that you enjoyed your Easter weekend. I know a lot of people still are in holiday mode. Peter Schwartz had his younger son in the building with him last night because he doesn't have school on Monday, and I know a bunch of the kiddos that I teach on Sundays at church, they were also off today. My mom's still not back in school. Of course, they closed the school because of a flu outbreak. Anyway, so I know a lot of people are out and not into their typical work routines, or maybe you're hearing the show because you're on the move, you're in the car, maybe you're driving back to whence you came, and you're listening for the first time or the first time in a long time. We're glad to have you with us on any of our great affiliates around the United States and north of the border. And then we also know that people tune in on Sirius XM. Is it 128 now? Shoot, why do I always forget our number on Sirius XM?
It changes often.
It does. It changes.
We're just 158 now.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should know that. I think we have a liner in the computer. Can you like find the liner where I'm saying what the channel is? Make sure it's not the old liner though, because as you point out, it's changed. Anyway, so you can listen on Sirius XM or the app. A lot of you also listen with the Odyssey app, or you listen on our website and you stream it that way. There's TuneIn Radio app. There's all kinds of different ways. Just, you know what? Google it. It's easy that way. But thank
you. Just ask Alexa to play CBS Sports Radio.
See what I mean? Amy, you're so smart. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. We've spent probably the last hour and a half talking about this LA Times article that was offensive. These are my opinions. Offensive and inflammatory and rude and downright cringeworthy. And I know the LA Times has removed some of the language that was used to refer to the LSU women's basketball team, but it doesn't make it a whole lot better. And we have not heard from the author. Jay was telling me he's been looking at the comments on Twitter in response to the link from the article that the author shared, and people are egging him on to come out. Where are you? Where are you? Why are you MIA? And so I don't know if the LA Times told him he should not be speaking or told him he has to issue an apology or something along those lines, but a lot of the offensive language has been removed from the column, but it still is very much an inflammatory piece that to me comes across as so one-sided against not really LSU, more Kim Mulkey, but definitely describing Angel Reese and some of her teammates in a way that, like I say, is cringeworthy. It just, I'd never heard the term dirty debutantes. I don't like dirty anyway, because the connotation when you're describing young women that way is, it's rude and it's unnecessary. These are teenagers in many cases playing basketball. But to take it and then put it in front of the word debutante apparently is an urban term, which in and of itself could be just, yeah, in and of itself is offensive. But then you kind of look at some of the things that come up when you Google it, and it's, yeah, it's disgusting. It's there's a porn, would you call them organizations? I have no idea. A porn company or something that's titled Dirty Debutante. So I don't know what the author meant to say. I do know I've read the column, and it very much, to me, comes across as a slant, and he's got an agenda, and his agenda is to attack Kim. But he doesn't stop at attacking Kim Mulkey. And she even says, I'm okay with that, right? I mean, she asks for it a lot of the times. I respect her to the hilt. I think she's an amazing coach and woman, and I know family is so important to her. I've worked with her in the past. I don't agree with all of her decisions. I don't agree with how aggressive she is a lot of times. I do think she brings the criticism on herself, but I will tell you, in many cases, it's strategic. She does it so that she deflects it from her players. That's one of the reasons why she puts herself out there, is to have people talking about her and not focusing on her players. But in this case, it has definitely filtered down. This article wasn't just about her. It was also about some of the players on the team, like Angel Reese, who, of course, spoke out about it herself and said, this isn't even the worst thing we've run into this year. So they're battle-tested for sure as they get ready for this game against Iowa. The article was written about UCLA, LSU. But now, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Iowa, and LSU, the defending champions, in a rematch of last year's championship game, which really did kind of catapult the Iowa Hawkeyes into a different stratosphere. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Twitter, Facebook, glad to connect with you. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. On the men's side, we've got the Final Four set, even as we wait for these two more games that come up later on tonight. We'll call it a big Monday on the women's side, because you also have UConn, the most accomplished college basketball program this side of UCLA, in the men, going back to John Wooden, right? They're attempting to get back to the Final Four against what is more of an upstart team, kind of fresh blood, and Juju Watkins, the incredible all-world freshman for USC, for Southern Cal. And so that game is the second half of the doubleheader. So star power all around. And we'll wait for the women's Final Four. It's kind of neat, too, because NC State has both teams in. UConn could have both teams into the Final Four if the women succeed later on tonight. So, yeah, really good stuff coming from college hoops over the past few weekends. We're down to now just a handful of games that will take place next weekend. But looking forward to some of these matchups. And I had said this before the top of the hour. You've got UConn, who is blazing this trail as a defending champion that hasn't been traveled since the Florida Gators of 06-07. And they've got players who were part of this team last year, of course, and they're better. They, in a very challenging and competitive league, they lost a couple of games. They got blasted by Creighton once. It was really a wake-up call. But they won the regular season Big East. They won the Big East tournament. And now they're beating opponents in the NCAA tourney by an average of 30 points. It's roughly 30 points is their margin of victory. So you've got UConn, who, you know, is flexing its muscles and is really the best team on the planet. Now, does that always mean championship? No. Sometimes the best team on the planet does not end up winning the title. But the neat mix that you've got around UConn, you've got Purdue, who was a top seed last year but didn't make it, got ousted by a 16. And now you've got Zach Edey and Mac Painter and the Purdue Boilermakers, who've not been there since 1980, which is pretty incredible. And the game against Tennessee, one of the best of this tournament so far. Six ties, eight lead changes. They were tied at 58 with 5 minutes to go. Zach Edey ends up with a 40-point performance, and this is with 8 missed free throws. It's a career high. He has 16 rebounds, and boy, he was fired up when they got on the court.
They thought they knew us, man. They thought they knew what we had in our hearts. I promise you they didn't. We're winners. That's what we do.
So that was on CBS. I think it was Evan Washburn who was doing the interviews there. Anyways, funny because he goes from that like high, intense level of emotion to then his mom, who, if you've heard the story, she comes into the United States from Canada for his basketball seasons every year. So he's not by himself. She stays in an Airbnb, I think, is what I've heard, though maybe that's changed because he probably has NIL money. But so she stays in an Airbnb and she's with him, and she was there in Detroit for this Midwest Regional Final. And then he's hugging her and just crying. So you get like the two extremes of the emotions, but that's what sports do to us, right? So it's really neat to see Purdue go from first round elimination, a footnote to history, to now being in the first Final Four for the school since 1980.
It's been a long journey. Obviously, I've been outside of my country for the last like 5-6 years, like starting in 11th grade, and to kind of end up where I am now, it's amazing, but we still have a lot of basketball left to play.
For sure, but congratulations to Matt Painter and the Boilermakers who get to the Final Four.
That's what we do!
Our friend Jerry Palm, who has been on the show multiple times this season, he's the bracketologist, he's always in studio after the selection show. He's a Purdue alum. Now, he's covering the tournament, but they sent him to the places where Purdue was playing, so he's seen each of their games. So he was in Detroit yesterday to cover it, and I sent him a text about the point at which it was tied in the second half, and I said, are you breathing? Happy Easter, are you breathing? And he writes back two words, heart attack. So it was pretty incredible, though. The crowd in Detroit was very pro-Purdue, having driven from Indiana. So really neat to see that. Now, it comes at the expense of an incredible player for Tennessee. The Volunteers would have been in their first ever Final Four, but Dalton Knecht, 37 points in this one, though they clamped down on defense there, and maybe he got tired in the second half.
I don't think I put the team on my back. I think all of us carried each other. I think every single one of us did what we needed to do, and at the end of the day, they were just the better team, and we didn't, we always were coming out swinging, and I just love these guys, and I wish we could have one more game.
We got a special group of guys, and when you have a special team, that's what makes it so hard when it ends, because you just wanted so much more for them.
We had a caller just before the top of the hour, Paul from North Carolina, he made a really good point about the makeup of the four teams that are into the Final Four, and they are heavy in terms of seniors, most of them. Now, Duke was not. They were a lot younger. They did have a couple of veterans, but it was freshmen. It was a couple of sophomores in there, too. But you do have the teams that are in, and we'll talk about NC State, they're laden with seniors, and they've got guys who are 24, 25, and it's because of that extra COVID year. And so Paul was wondering, you know, what does NIL and the transfer portal do, and what does college basketball look like moving forward? And I think the diversity is actually one thing that we'll continue to see. You will get the blue bloods, the programs that are steeped in tradition, the programs that generally are on national TV and have great facilities, and the programs that have the big name like Duke, like Kentucky, you'll continue to see them recruit the best blue chippers coming out of high school. And they'll a lot of times be made up of these younger players who are high school All-Americans. And there is the attractive quality of being able to make money off your name, image, and likeness. But you will get the best schools in the country who continue to recruit freshmen and who continue to go that route, the actual old-fashioned recruiting with millions of dollars. That sounded funny. Anyway, so you'll get that because there's still that element, but you're also going to have teams that build through the transfer portal, and you're going to have more schools like an NC State. Now, going to a Final Four changes so much, and the Wolfpack haven't been there since 1983. So this puts them on the national stage, and it puts Kevin Keats in the spotlight, and it gets him in the door in homes, in recruiting players that before this, he maybe wouldn't have had a shot to get, right? They wouldn't have even given him a conversation or a sideways glance. But you get to a Final Four, and all of a sudden, there's a lot more doors that open for you. So he built a lot of his team through the transfer portal, and that includes DJ Burns, who joined him from Winthrop 2 years ago. And look how it changed the trajectory of the team. And actually, this is just kind of a neat thing about DJ Burns that Kevin Keats said. Remember, the Wolfpack have won 9 in a row. They weren't going to make the tournament, but DJ Burns is kind of become this darling of the tournament, a huge smile. He's larger than life, everything really. But he's got soft touch and great hands. And he reminds me a lot of Zion Williamson. I wouldn't say quite as skilled as Zion, but similar body type. And Zion was a little better at getting up and down the floor. But I do love the way that you can have a dude this big, and yet he can have the soft hands and a great touch and a good shooting stroke. And yeah, guys like this, when you get in from the transfer portal, they force coaches to adjust.
Typically, I play with two forwards. You know, a Ben and a Mo together. But when DJ hit the transfer portal, I was like, man, I got changed. I mean, he changed me. Like, I've never thrown the ball inside as much as I have in the last couple of years. Great touch, great footwork. Last year, one of his issues, he could pass the ball, but he didn't have a great assist to turnover ratio. And now he's doing that. It's changed the way I look at, post guys now.
You will definitely have teams that continue to pick through the transfer portal because they feel like that's their best route. Again, maybe can't get in the door to some of the best recruits in the country. And so they wait for a couple of years and then they look through the transfer portal, and that's how they build their team. Remember Utah State last year lost everybody who scored a point for them and build the entire team over again. And they ended up getting to the tournament. And did they go through the first four? I can't remember. I think they might have, but don't quote me on that. Anyway, so the Utah State story is not going to be a 4-1 to college basketball. Now, that's an extreme example, but you will get teams completely rebuilding from 1 year to the next, and not just because of graduation, but because guys transfer and they leave. And then you're going to have teams that are a mix, right, who feel like they're one or two transfer players away. And so they end up doing the recruiting route, but they also are trying to supplement. So I don't love this wild, wild west in college sports. I don't love the idea of this thinly veiled pay-for-play system, and that's the way it comes across. Now, granted, there may be some athletes who are earning straight NIL money, and that's how it's billed, and it's because of we're using your name, image, and likeness. But to be fair, there are obviously plenty of places where this is just being used as pay-for-play. Come here, we'll guarantee you $7 million. But I almost fell out of my chair maybe it was even last year, when I heard someone say that the best quarterbacks in college football are earning $7 to $8 million. Like, that's what it takes to get a top quarterback on your campus. Is it that drastic in college basketball? I don't know. I have no idea how much some of these players are making. But when it comes to a situation like a Caitlin Clark or an Angel Reese or a Paige Beckers or a Juju Watkins, if they're being used as spokespeople, or if they're being used in promotional materials, I do think that they should make money for that, because they and other players are largely responsible for raising the profile of the game. So yes, they should get a piece of the pie, if you will. So there are ways to do it, I would hope, without this whole pay for play system. And it's different now, right? Because in some cases it is, can you pay me the most money? Maybe that's not the only way that families make their decisions, but I can imagine there are plenty of choices that are being made based on who is offering us the most money. And I don't love that element of college sports, but Pandora's box has been opened wide. So, yeah, I think, Paul, in North Carolina, we're going to end up having a mix of various team constructions, and we'll see whether or not there is any regulation or any monitoring or any checks and balances in this new system. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're left with 2-1s, a 4, and an 11 in men's college basketball. Such great stories, and the women will round out their final four tonight. Also, did you see that same, that weird story? The NCAA just looks so bad. Where in Portland at the women's regional, the 3-point lines were not the same distance. Like, they had them wrong. And so this was during the NC State Texas game. The coaches just decided they would go ahead and play with it that way rather than having to wait, interrupt their game. But yeah, the whole thing is just, it just looks bad for the NCAA when it comes to women's college basketball. They've changed the way that they send their teams to regionals, and now they're just using 2 as opposed to 4 because they're worried about not filling the arenas. I mean, it's almost like they're like a, oh shoot, what's that term? Self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You are trying to prevent your women's game from not drawing fans or not looking bad on TV or not meeting the same standard as the men, as opposed to giving the women that opportunity and trusting that the fans will show up because they like the product. And so there's a lot of complaints about it, but then to find out that the 3-point lines are not where they're supposed to be and they weren't the same distance, it's just... All right, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. Happy Monday. I hope you enjoyed your Easter weekend. We're glad you're with us here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Seconds to go. Shot clock is turned off. Rivers running along the midcourt line. Texas not contesting it. And the NC State fans across the way all rising. Huge smile on Saniah Rivers' face. Raleigh, North Carolina, stand up. Your NC State Wolfpack are headed to the Final Four for the first time since 1998. The final score, Wolfpack 76, Longhorn 66.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Really cool time to be a fan of the NC State Wolfpack. The men get back to the Final Four for the first time since 1983 with a victory over Duke. And man, the defense against Duke in the second half was terrific. Not to mention DJ Burns with his 21 points in the second half, and he's a lot of fun to watch. But then you've got the women's team also getting to the Final Four for the first time since the late 90s. So that's awesome. Except the game and the victory over the top seed Texas, which you hear there on Westwood One, it was marked with its own weird storyline. I just don't know how this happens, but I guess if it's going to happen, it's going to be the NCAA. They played in Portland, Oregon on a court that had 3-point lines that were different distances at the top of the key. Yet during halftime of the game, they were notified. I don't know what that means. Who notified them? But the court had also been used for regional semifinals on Friday and Saturday. So they figured it out before Sunday. And then as they're getting ready to tip off this game, you've got video of the coaches that are out there. They're with officials. They're measuring. My gosh. And Wes Moore, Vic Schaefer, the two head coaches, they decide that they will go ahead and they'll continue to play there rather than wait through the delay of them fixing it. So the NCAA gave the two coaches the option of playing with the discrepancy, right? The 3-point lines on one end, the left side of the court, if you were looking at TV, being a lot shorter than the one on the right side. But so you know in basketball, I'm sure you know this, that they switch ends, right? Now, in women's basketball, they do quarters. They've gone back to quarters recently in college. They say it's for fewer interruptions. I don't know why, but it's the same amount of time. It's just broken up into quarters now, whereas the men still play the halves. Anyway, so the two coaches were given the option of waiting for it to be remeasured, and they were told it could take an hour, and so instead they decided to just move forward because they're switching ends, and I guess ultimately it would be equitable. I don't know. And so Wes Moore, who's the head coach of NC State, said that Vic Schaefer of Texas was kind of hesitant at the beginning, but they didn't really want to wait. So that's why they moved forward. But I love the comment from Coach Schaefer on these 3-point lines.
Well, I hate to say this, but I have a lot of colleagues that would say only in women's basketball.
Oh,
I mean, it's a shame, really, that it even happened. But it is what it is. I mean, I'm not the culprit here. You guys are asking me about something that I had no control over, so Vic Schaefer ain't the problem. But anyway, it is what it is. So it's a shame. That's all I can say.
Gosh. Anyway, he says it's not, you know, we were just given two poor choices, either wait for an hour or continue to play. But it is embarrassing. And it wasn't that long ago. Was it 2 years ago that the NCAA was accused of having, maybe it was longer than that, but having disparity in the facilities for the men's tournament versus the women, the press area, the food, the accommodations for the teams. And now they've consolidated them into two regionals as opposed to four. And so it is, I mean, it's what Vic Schaefer has to say. It is accurate. Like, this would never happen in the men's game. It would never happen in the men's game. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Not really getting a chance to do a whole lot of much else besides the college hoops, but also this LA Times article that was written about LSU versus UCLA. We've talked about tonight's games on the women's side. Yeah, there's some really cool storylines, so I hope that you will enjoy them. I haven't had a chance to tell you my half marathon story, which I will at some point, but we'll mix in a little baseball too, just as we get toward the top of the hour, as we head into a Monday. Oh, do you know what? I haven't done my taxes yet. Okay, it's April 1st. Happy April to me. I always say this when I wait too long. In the last couple of years, I was really proud of myself. I got them done by the third weekend in March. Yeah, that's not happening now that I'm married. We've had things. Well, we always have things going on. Anyway, now my line is they've got to be done before my birthday or we are not celebrating my birthday. So a few days to go, not celebrating until the taxes are done. So yes, they're going to have to be done during this work week.
Well, you got to fight.
For your right. Thank you, Novak.
to party.
I mean, I might be too old to party. I might be too sore to party after running the half marathon, which, by the way, was my third in the last 12 months. I didn't realize that. So I celebrated a milestone birthday last year and then ran three half marathons and hiked the Grand Canyon. So, all right, kicking that milestone B-Day.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a rear end.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
2-1 pitch. Swung on and hammered. Deep right field. Way back. Maxwell swinging the silver hammer gives the Dodgers a 5-4 lead. Oh, how do you like it? First home run of the season for Max Muncy. Halfway up the pavilion in right field. 5-4 Dodgers.
That's always something that I've always cared about the most, is putting our team in the best position to win. To me, I've always come second to the team. And, you know, obviously it's fun to have good results for myself, but as long as it's helping the team win, that's what I care about the most.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Max Muncy, first home run of the season. Tim Neverett with the call on the Dodgers radio network puts them on top of the Cardinals in the eighth inning, and they're able to rally, come from behind. Yeah, it was kind of fun to hear Steven Matz. So Matz, who's been in different places in his career, of course, now with the Cardinals. And already we're, what, six games into the year for the Dodgers, fewer for the rest of the teams who didn't start in Korea. And they're already measuring themselves against LA.
It's definitely encouraging to do well against them. It's a deep lineup.
Is it?
And then coming off the bench, obviously they have their guys as well that can hurt you. So it's a tough lineup, but we played them tough this series.
Is that how you measure yourselves? It's always encouraging. Maybe he didn't mean that. I'm going to need him to be a little more forceful about that. We want to beat their rear ends. He probably used a different language. We're the language that Zach Edey used live on CBS. We're bleeping winners.
It's also just his first time playing that iteration of the Dodgers lineup.
Right.
Never faced them before.
It's encouraging. Yeah, but it's intimidating. Think about it. Mookie Betts, who's, I think, already had three home runs now. Mookie Betts, then Shohei Ohtani, who hasn't even started pitching yet. Freddie Freeman, and then just by virtue of the fact that he's been paid for the next 10 years, or he will be paid for the next 10 years, Will Smith. I mean, I know he's good, but he's still pretty early in his career, right? He's last year kind of a breakout year for him. And then the rest of the also-rans there. The Dodgers add Tyler Glasnow at the top of their rotation, and they'll get some other guys back, they think, later in the year. But yeah, it's a lot of on paper. We haven't even really seen this group, but just MVPs, MVPs, MVPs. I mean, Clayton Kershaw's an MVP too. So if you think about it, they have four MVPs in their dugout or on their roster. I mean, it certainly can be intimidating. I don't know about encouraging when you lose to them with an eighth inning home run by Max Muncy.
Winners is what we do.
I do think I could be wrong, but I think they took 2 of 4 from them. I think they split the weekend series. Going back to Thursday, this shows you that I'm not quite locked into Major League Baseball mode yet. Yeah, yay me. Always go with your first answer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, Juan Soto no longer in the NL West with the Dodgers, so he's someone else's headache, right? He's the AL East headache. Or this weekend, he was the headache of the Houston Astros.
Now, here's a big pitch. There goes Torres, the third pitch. Line, base hit, left field. How do y'all like that?
Oh, dear.
Torres scores. The Yankees take a 4-3 lead. Oh, is he good. Oh, do we love Soto.
Stop
Tucker,
it.
2-for-3 with a walk. Pitch swung on line to left. Verdugo makes the exciting catch. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Okay, I'm a little concerned about John Sterling. Am I wrong? Is this November and Game 7 of the World Series, or is this the first weekend of the year and Juan Soto's first four games with the Astros and it's March? Also, did he hit his head on something?
Wait. Ow!
No, nothing. Ow. That's cheating, Jay. Go back to the call and let's hear the beginning.
Now, here's a big pitch. There goes Torres, the third pitch. Line, base hit, left field. How do y'all like that? Torres scores. The Yankees take a 4-3 lead.
Okay, now fast forward to the end where he's calling. I get it. They had an RBI single with two outs in the ninth. The Yankees beat the Astros, so it's very exciting. La, la, la. But it sounds as though he's calling the final out of the World Series.
Swung on line to left. Verdugo makes the exciting catch. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
He needs to be careful. You can't get all excited to that degree in March, because then what do you do in April?
He's got 158 left of these.
What do you do?
He's got to notch it down a little bit.
Well, I don't know that he's doing all of them. He's tending to do fewer road trips cross country, but still, it seems, though, he must be red in the face. And I bet you, Jay actually made this gesture. We were replaying it. I'll bet you John Sterling was like pounding the desk or something. Hit the microphone. Now, because I talk with my hands all the time, I do smack the microphone while I'm waving my arms around so I can identify and relate. But yeah, it certainly sounds like he hit something on accident.
Line, base hit, left field. How do y'all like?
Either that or Susan fell out of her chair. One or the other.
Oh, God.
I didn't hear Susan at all there.
You're right. I didn't hear Susan.
Susan was pretty quiet. I'm assuming Susan was doing the game. She always does these games. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And, yes, that is John Sterling as the Yankees sweep the Astros. And it was apparently.
Ow.
It was apparently the most exciting series that he has seen in a long time. I mean, Juan Soto is thrilled, right? He said this was the start he wanted. I don't know. I hate this question, but whatever. Is this an early message? Juan just got there. It's too early to ask him this question.
I don't know if we're sending a message, but definitely we're playing hard every day. And we're playing all the 27 outs, and that's what we've been doing this series, and that's what we did. And more than excited to keep going.
I grinded really hard this offseason and spring training to be successful in the beginning of the season. That's what Juan said. Yeah, I don't really care what the sweep means. It's March, for heaven's sakes. This is similar to the Dallas Cowboys when they start out with two wins in a row in the NFL season and fans come out of the woodwork and the questions are, what statement does this make? Are the Cowboys going to win the Super Bowl after two wins? After two wins. Right. It's very similar. It's an obsession, and the Blues are different with the Yankees and the Cowboys, but very often the fan base, or at least a portion of the fan base, reacts the same way.
Get me some oxygen.
Oh, hello, Jarrah. Wow, we're only 24 days away from the NFL draft. Is it? It's kind of scary that I know that. Okay, moving on. Major League Baseball getting some of its teams off to perfect starts this weekend. I actually was cracking myself up because I was texting Jay with different show topics, but also different audio searches that I wanted him to do to bring back some stuff for the show. And I'm running through the baseball standings. Like, okay, the Yankees, followed that series, so I knew that they were 4-0. The Tigers are 3-0. How about that? Nice start for Detroit. And the Pirates, Is this going to be a repeat of last year when they started out like a house on fire and then, oh, no, don't do that to your fans. So, yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates are also 4-0, and those are your undefeated teams. Meanwhile, the Astros are 0-4. The White Sox are 0-3, which has got to be really familiar after last year and how there was all the promise and the excitement, and then it just went down. Well, it never really got to the level of anticipation. So that's it. You've got, the Mets. Oh, hi. Hello, New York Mets.
To everybody, let's go, Mets.
So, little Mets story for you, and I'll tell my half marathon story on our next show. But I was running my half marathon in the shadow of not just Arthur Ashe Stadium, where the U.S. Open is located, well, the big matches, but I was there in Flushing, and right across this big boardwalk, there's a boardwalk that goes over the train tracks there in Flushing, is Citi Field. And so I can see Citi Field. I can see Arthur Ashe, and this is part of my, I did four loops at this park that's right there with those two stadiums. And so I'm getting finished with my half marathon. It's just before noon on Saturday, and there's been a mad influx of people who are headed to Citi Field. So they're starting their game as we're leaving the park and heading back to New Jersey. And I get home, it's not even an hour later, and they're already getting blasted by the Brewers. It's like, that was quick. Okay, they didn't even start the game before we left, and then they're already trailing by four runs. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, it was kind of, I guess it was a microcosm of how they played the weekend, going 0-3.
Definitely not ideal and definitely not what we wanted how to start. So, we'll just get right back at it tomorrow.
That's what you do. And see, that's the thing about baseball. Whether it's John Sterling exulting over a 4-0 start, or it's the Mets, and fitting both New York teams, it's the Mets going 0-4 to begin their series, and they go 0-3. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's 162 games. So in the case of the Yankees, if they go 4-158, I don't think anybody's going to care about the fact that they swept the Astros.
From the Yankees, who just simply don't hit.
Or if the Mets now turn around and go 159-3, could you imagine? That would be a record.
I couldn't do that. I think my heart could handle that.
Heart attack. Yeah, these three games or these four games, I don't think anybody's really going to talk about them much. Anyway, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We've taken some good calls on tonight's show. And yeah, we've got some good women's college basketball on the horizon. I suppose at some point this week we'll get back to the NBA. But if you missed it, LeBron James had a career-high 9 triples. The Lakers with a win over the weekend. And he scored 40. But that's not what people were talking about. And see, here's the thing. You ask a stupid question, you might just get a stupid answer. LeBron is not going to tell you when he's retiring. But people keep asking, how much longer are you going to play, LeBron?
Not very long. Not very long.
Not very long.
I'm on the other side, obviously at a hill, so I'm not going to play another 21 years. That's for damn sure. But not very long. I don't know when that door will close as far as when I'll retire, but I don't have much time left.
But that's very morbid and macabre. Not very long. Well, he said, I'm damn sure not going to play another 21 years. Duh.
Not two, not three.
Right.
Not four.
Not 21.
Not five.
Yeah.
Not six.
Okay. That never gets old. We didn't expect that, but I think he's toying with people. He loves it. He toys with people. So you ask him the question, he's got to come up with creative ways to answer it. All right, so the Lakers still, I think it's a game and a half ahead of the Warriors in the Western Conference standings. They actually just finished up a 4-1 road trip, but kind of neat because the entire team had breakfast on Easter morning and the Currys joined them. So they were playing a game and having breakfast with the Currys.
It's just a reminder about the sacrifices of, I mean, everybody who was in this building, you guys, coaches, players, you know, sacrifice you have working on Easter weekend. And thankfully, you know, kids are a little older where they could travel a little bit and not make it too crazy on my wife. But it was nice to see them in the stands and be able to spend the morning with them. But, you know, it's not easy what we do. And it reminds you of the sacrifices, you know, we make, our family makes to, you know, allow us to do what we do on the court. So it's nice to have them here.
That's neat. That's really cool. One of the things that I enjoyed about traveling with a couple of different teams when I was doing that as part of my play-by-play career is that we would, whenever we would go to a city or an area where one of the players is from or hailed from or had family there, we would all go over to their house for a big meal a lot of times. It was fun. It added to the family atmosphere and just kind of the bonding experience of being on the road. All right, we'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.